Everybody, welcome to Buffy Speak.
Hello, friends.
Well, here's the thing. I'll let you know right now. We did season 6, episode 11. It's called Gone. Uh-huh. What is there to say about Gone? I mean, Buffy gets a haircut.
She does, because Sarah Michelle Gellar was tired of having long hair.
Cool. That's fine.
I'll allow it.
And that, yeah, I mean, as if I have any say. Yeah, I mean, Buffy gets a haircut and she's turned invisible for a little while. And that's, I didn't really like this episode. The stakes were low for me. What do you think? Yes, yeah.
Because, like,
I know she was gonna turn into pudding or whatever.
Well, that's not the stakes for me. It's like, for a second there, it looked like Dawn would get taken away.
That's a good point. But she had a plan. Okay. So, so what? Dawn's pissed at, let's see. Okay, so Buffy is going through and getting rid of all of the magic stuff in their house because Willow has asked for help.
Yes.
And Buffy's like, she can't be tempted by anything here, so we need to get rid of it all. And while she's looking for all the magic stuff to get thrown away, she finds Spike's lighter. And it's like, could this be happening at the same time, you know?
Right.
The nerds have an invisibility ray.
Yes, because in their first episode as a unit, I guess.
Right.
They stole a diamond, and we've been like, this whole time.
And they needed it for this ray. Their plan is to make themselves invisible and to go into the bikini wax salon and look at naked women. Mm-hmm. My thing is that if you're going to go and sneak a peek at women being naked, there's so many other public places that are so much better to do that in than a bikini wax salon. Like, women don't go there to get naked for luxurious reasons. Like, a bikini wax salon is a dark place, and women go there to die. So I don't know why that's it. Like, a tanning salon would be good, or, like, any number of spas, or, like, the ladies' locker room at a gym. I mean, that's three off the top of my head, you know? I could go on. and then Dawn's pissed at Buffy because she kind of feels like she said that it's, she thinks it's Buffy's fault for leaving her alone with Willow.
Yeah, even.
I guess.
And Buffy says later, it's like, I've just been so wrapped up in my own stuff. And I was like, but Willow was like deliberately hiding it from you.
Yeah, and I mean, so what, Dawn thinks it's Buffy's fault because Buffy was sticking up for Willow, being like, you know, Willow's got it under control. That's what this is?
Yeah, it's just so, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, Buffy didn't crash the car.
Yeah,
I disagree.
It's a plot point, you know?
Right, sure. Because we've all got our own plot points.
Because then Dawn, if Dawn's mad at Buffy, then Dawn can say something embarrassing in front of the social worker.
Which is, I mean, that's exactly what happens. She's, like, Buffy's trying to get her out the door to go to school, and right as Buffy opens the door, the social worker is standing there, and Dawn goes, try not to get me into another car accident. Or something, says something like that. And I'm like, Buffy was not even on the premises. So what's the beef here, little girl? I don't know. I don't get it. Like I said, I disagree. But the social service lady, Doris, if you will. Doris is like, right? Mm-hmm. So, oh, and Spike's there. That also happened. Spike ran in with the blanket over his head, and because he's just trying to see Buffy all the time. And she's like, that's one of the jokes this episode, is at the beginning, she's like, stop trying to see me. And then she gets turned invisible.
Yeah.
So Spike's there, and then Dawn goes off to school with Xander. Willow's upstairs in the shower, I guess, getting dressed. And the social service lady comes in, and Spike is, like, making a really bad impression. Just, I mean, he's Spike, right? He's got his, he looks like a grifter of sorts. And, yeah, this lady, she's like, does your boyfriend live here then? And they do the classic, he's not my boyfriend thing.
Yeah.
Then, so, where were we?
Not my boyfriend thing. Like, me and my
it's
friend.
It's happening again.
Why? There's nothing.
Okay, now it's not. Oh, there it goes.
Is it?
I'm fine. I'll live.
Okay.
Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. I'm going to take 1 year off, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they do the, he's not my boyfriend thing, and Spike is just saying all kinds of accusatory nonsense, mm-hmm. I guess. So this lady is not impressed, and she's like, is it just you two that live here? And then Willow yells from upstairs, and she's like, oh, also Willow lives here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, oh, and she's like, oh, so you live with another woman.
Which is weird. Because friends live together all the time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. She does immediately jump to.
Rooms.
Oh, that's true as well. But she does immediately jump to, the gay side.
Yeah.
Which has not ever been my experience when something gay is happening. People will rather assume that something gay is not happening before they assume that something gay is happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, gal pals and such like that. So she's like, oh, so you live with another woman. Buffy's like, no. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. But then she, like, the lady, like, things don't go well. And the lady's like, I'll have to look at your file or something. And she leaves. And then Buffy turns around, and Spike is still there.
Yeah.
And which he's not supposed to be. She yells at him to leave, and he charges her, kind of. He, like, slams a hand on the side of her, like, next to her face, and then he reaches into her pocket and pulls out his lighter, and he said, I just got what I came
here for. Just getting what I came here for.
Right. And then he leaves, and he's like, see you later, Goldilocks, because she told him to stop calling her love.
Yeah.
So he was like, fine, you get Goldilocks. And then she goes upstairs, and she panic cuts her hair.
Yeah.
And we've all been there, right? Have you? Sorry, guys. I'm so tired. I stayed up late.
No, also, I haven't. But only because my hair is so curly that it is a... Panic cutting my hair is a colossal mistake.
Okay. I've never panic cut my hair. Like, Buffy, like, splits her hair into two, like, pigtail-sized chunks and just snips.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. I did, when I was a senior in high school, I was really bored, and I was like, I didn't want to go to college. Goodness. I'm not sure how to deal with it, but, yeah, and then my friend Caitlin was here. And she was like, I'm bored. And I said, me too. And she said, let me cut your hair. And I said, okay. But she gave me a really cute haircut. So I don't know if that's the only time I've ever not been at a salon when my hair was cut. Or not at least, not necessarily a salon. I've been in a couple of garages. Have you ever done that? Like your mom's friend or your mom's friend will cut your hair? Or your friend's mom?
No.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I just have one of these chairs in my garage. Come on in. And they're like, okay. I mean, right? Like, if they have the right equipment.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good at it, yeah, why not? But I've never experienced this.
Sometimes, I don't even know. Sometimes you just go in and you just sit down. Isn't that so crazy? I just sit down in this chair and a random person just starts touching my head.
It happens.
Interesting. I'm always fascinated by society. Okay, it's like these things that you don't even realize you're just, like, used to, and then you think about them, and you're like, if this wasn't just a normal part of our society, this would be so weird. Like, the cleaners, I dirty up my clothes, and I dropped them off at the cleaners, and then I picked them back up, and they're clean again. He takes time out of his day to clean my clothes, and I pay him for that time.
It's true.
Do you know? I don't know. Anyway.
Life is hard. Life is confusing and difficult. And Caroline life doesn't is strange. Understand any of it.
I don't. I certainly don't. So, let's see. The nerds are at a bikini wax place, and they're about to turn each other invisible. And then Buffy starts walking by them, and she doesn't even see them.
Yeah.
They panic instead. Goodness gracious. I'm so sorry about
this. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Me neither. I mean, I know what's wrong with me right now. I was actually sleeping about 5 minutes before we started recording this. But this is just today, and it's like an all-the-time thing. I don't know. I wish it wasn't the way it is. But anyway, so Buffy's, like, walking towards them, and she doesn't even see them. But they, like, they panic as well and shoot her, and then she's invisible. And then they drive away. And, Buffy is now invisible. She goes to the magic box.
Yep.
Where Xander and Anya are planning their wedding.
Yep.
And, they're like, hey, Buffy, you're invisible.
Right.
She's like, oh, really? But she's, like, kind of enjoying it, I guess. And she's like, I'll see y'all later.
Lots of invisibility puns and visual, physical humor about.
Right. Yes. They really took advantage of this moment. And that's, I mean, that's, when are you going to get this shot again, right? So, Buffy leaves. She's like, I'm going to go take a walk and enjoy being visible. And Anya's like, obviously Willow had something to do with this.
Right. Because they're like, this is magic. Who do we know who does magic?
Right. And who has also recently, quote-unquote, blown it.
Right.
Xander goes to visit Willow and was like, hey, have you seen Buffy? Because she's invisible. And Willow overreacts, in my opinion.
He's like, relapse is a natural part of recovery. And I'm like, it is. Thank you, Xander.
Yeah. He's speaking the truth, man. You don't just, you know, progress isn't a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they always say. So... yeah, so she's like, what, you think it's me? And I mean, maybe it's just because she's been doing some sleuthing the old-fashioned way with a paint chip and, like, some stuff that she recovered from the scene of the crime, as it were, where Buffy got turned invisible. So maybe it's because she's been, like, slumming it
on her grind.
What?
This is before that, I think. Yeah.
No, she's sitting at the cafe when he meets up with her. And she's been on this computer for, like, a really long time, and she's looking... right?
No, because he's like, Buffy's invisible, and she's like, what? So she...
oh, she does say, oh, Buffy got her hair cut?
Yeah. So...
okay.
He says it while she's in, Joyce's house. Or their house, I guess. I guess it's also Buffy's house. Joyce don't live here no more.
Yeah, I'll say.
But,
you're sure she's not researching?
Let me look it up. Okay, hold on. Anya and Xander, blah, blah, blah. Buffy drives to Doris's workplace. We'll talk about that later.
That's next.
Buffy, oh my gosh, it says Buffy attempts to sexually assault Spike.
Half true.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Okay. In the meantime, she and Spike goes underground for sex, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, Xander confronts Willow, but she knows nothing about the invisibility and is offended that she is automatically being blamed. She leaves in a huff to try to figure out what happened to Buffy. She was researching the stolen diamond.
That's what it was. Okay. But she has been slumming it.
Yes, yes.
So no, I got the research subject wrong. But she has been, like, really working hard to try and figure out what happened to the diamond. For the diamond case. And so, yeah, so then she storms off, and then, the nerds are back in their lair, and they're trying to fix the gun, because in there, they kind of, like, it shot Buffy when they, like, dropped it, I think, or something like that. They damaged the gun, that's why it went off. And then shot Buffy instead. But, Buffy, meanwhile, is creeping around town, just going around insulting young ladies' clothing and stuff like that.
She just thinks she's the cock of the walk.
Yeah, she's just kind of, I'm kind of confused as to where, like, this joy comes from whenever she finds out she's invisible. She, like, she's fucking around hard.
Well, she kind of mentions it later in the episode where she's like...
Right, it meant that she wasn't...
free of life. And then Spike has that great line where he's like, free of life is dead.
Yeah, we call that dead, you know?
Yeah.
which he has a good point. But, okay, then she goes to the social services office and is haunting Doris. Yes. And...
Well, and Patrick made this... Patrick said he, you know, what Buffy was doing to... He was like, she's being cruel. He's like, this lady was literally just doing her job. And Buffy... And she didn't even say, like, I'm taking Dawn away now. She said, I'm keeping an eye on you.
Yeah. Buffy's just on probation. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe Buffy's not... I mean, I don't know. Because I think Dawn should stay with Buffy just because Dawn knows a lot of things about the world that not everybody knows. And, like, if she gets placed with some family and she's like, I was made as a, like, out of pure energy, right? Then, like, there's going to be some problems that arise. So it's, like, it's more, it's like a birds of a feather type thing more than, like, a, oh, yeah, this is totally an environment that you could raise a child in thing. Mm-hmm. So, because some things are more important. Than going to school.
Agreed.
Like vampires.
But it's against the law when you're a child, sadly.
It is. It is. Yeah. And that's what Doris is so hung up on. And who can blame her? Who can blame poor Doris?
Poor Doris.
Buffy's just
like... Doris admittedly doesn't react super well to being haunted. She's very quick to let everyone in the office know that she...
Yeah. Doris is one of those kids that it's like, if you would stop... giving such a big reaction, then you'd stop getting picked on, you know?
Right.
If you didn't make it so fun to haunt you, we wouldn't, Doris. Get it together. So Doris, Buffy's, like, moving her coffee cup around. Every time she reaches for it, it's in a different place. And then there's, like, there are papers that print out over and over that say, all work and no play makes Doris a dull girl. Which is, I know it's from The Shining, but, right?
Yes, it is. Have you ever seen The Shining?
Yes, I have. Yeah. But I didn't know if that was from The Shining, or if...
The book is better.
I'm not going to read the book. Are you kidding me? What, you think I'm just a time king? Some kind of plethora of time to donate?
You think I'm Kate Winslet and The Reader?
Oh, my God. I'm reading right now. I read all the time. I just finished The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, and that was good. There was a lot of kids running away. I love that. Like, Narnia and The Boxcar Children. I love stuff with kids running away.
You should watch The Magicians.
I told you this before. Should. I watched The Prestige today, which is about magicians.
Ah, it is. I've never seen it. I just know enough to get the references.
Oh, man. It's a...
Is it Buck Wild?
Oh, yeah. You better buckle in if you're watching that movie. I really enjoyed it. There's lots of mysteries abound.
Neat.
And then right now I'm reading Keith Richards' autobiography. I'm learning a lot about... the 60s and the 70s and about how you could do literally anything you wanted. No, you could do whatever you wanted. And,
if you were a white man.
I mean, no, I'm talking about, like just the culture that was going around. Everybody just fucking, I don't know. I'm shocked. It literally, I can't read it for too long at a time because it makes me nostalgic for a time that I've never been to. And I'm like, I wish I could... run around in the streets, I guess. That's the main thing that they're doing. They're running around, they're being hooligans. They've been into all sorts of shenanigans, those Rolling Stones. Those darn Rolling Stones.
someone ought to tell their mothers what they're up to.
I know. Someone ought to. So, okay, yeah. So, Doris is... Okay, Buffy steals the file, right? And yes. Then the file's gone, and Doris is...
And what? Doris's boss is like...
Oh, yeah.
You ought to take a day off, Doris. And she's like, but the floating coffee cup! And it's all very, like, okay.
Yeah. So, but the guy, he's like, let me go ahead and take a look at that file. And she's like, oh, the Summers file. And then the Summers file, of course, is not there. And so the guy, like, looks around. He's like, I guess we'll have to redo it. And so Buffy's gonna get a second chance, which is fine, I guess. You know, Dawn is also, difficult. And I don't, like, I mean, like, she won't go to school. Like, Buffy's yelling for her in the morning going, like, Dawn, come eat breakfast before you're late for school. Again. Yeah. And then there's only so much you can do, you know? But they're just blaming it all on Buffy. Do not even give her a fair shot. Let's see. Buffy goes to Spike House to suck his dick. And, to Spike's house. And, she's, like, excited to have invisible sex, I guess. Anya and Xander get a traffic cone from that also got struck by the...
Yeah, because Willow was going around, spray painting the invisible things to try and, make them uninvisible, I guess. I never really got why she was
doing so that you can exactly. find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that the traffic cone starts corroding, and have you ever seen styrofoam evaporate?
Yeah, if you spray paint styrofoam.
Oh, yeah, exactly like that. So, I was like, never mind. We were just talking about spray paint anyway.
It's fine. We're good.
So it starts turning into pudding. So then Xander's running around looking for Buffy. Then the nerds are talking about how Buffy's going to turn into pudding. So they're all figuring it out very quickly.
Because Jonathan and Tucker, or Andrew, sorry, Jonathan and Andrew were like, we don't want to kill her. We just want to, mess with her. It's the typical thing.
Right.
It's like the classic villain. We're not going to mess with... We're not going to kill anyone. We're just having fun. And then they end up killing someone. They always end up killing someone.
Yeah, I guess Warren doesn't really care. He's like, so, don't we, not want her around anyway? Which right. is, again, a pretty good point. But, let's see. Then Xander, because he's looking for Buffy, he goes over to Spike's, and the whole place is, kind of destroyed. Because I guess that's how people have sex. just running around knocking over all their belongings.
I can't tell you how many leases I've broken.
Oh my god. You've been like, I have
because
to.
Because of all the buildings that have fallen down.
But Xander goes there and, the place is trash, and then he goes downstairs and finds Spike humping invisible Buffy, and, which is quite a sight. And Xander's like, what are you doing? And Spike's like, I'm exercising. And pretends to be doing push-ups. Which is quick thinking. It was almost believable.
Yeah, and he's like, I like when Xander was like, okay, I'll leave you alone to exercise naked in bed.
Right. Yeah, I think that because Xander knew that Buffy was invisible, then he should have pieced it together.
I think so, too.
I think that if I would have seen that and he would have been like, I'm exercising, and I didn't know Buffy was invisible, I would be like, okay, that's kind of weird. But I knew that Buffy was invisible, I'd be like, he is fucking Invisibuffy.
Invisibuffy, I love it. Okay,
great. Patent. Trademark.
TM.
So, yeah, and then right after Xander leaves... Buffy's, kind of turned on by the whole being invisible thing, right? Isn't she? She's, crawling around and, nibbling on his ear while he's trying to have a conversation with Xander. It's not about the nibbling that's the problem. It's about the fact that Xander's right there. So, I'm all for the nibbling. Don't get me wrong.
I am pro-nibbling.
This is a pro-nibbling podcast, but...
Mm-hmm.
But, so Buffy's like, let's keep having invisible sex. And then Spike's, not into it. And that's whenever they have the conversation, right, where she's like, I like being invisible because it's kind of like being dead. Yeah. And he's like,
closest I've gotten in months, I tell
yeah.
you. Yeah.
Yeah, and Spike is, he's like, it's also, you're only okay being with me now, and you're only in a good mood now, because you can't see yourself with me, you know, and nobody right. is gonna ever find out that you were here, because you don't look like you're invisible, you know? Right. Yeah, and so, I mean, that's kind of offensive, right? I would be pissed. I would be like, you literally don't want to be seen with me. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah, you actually literally do not want to be seen
with me. And so he kicks her out, which bruises her ego more than anything.
Yeah, she's like, getting kicked out? Me? By Spike? And I'm like, well...
Yeah, how many times have you kicked him out? You, like... She, like, uninvited him from her house. And this was all for a good reason and stuff. But she's kicked him out and yelled mm-hmm. at him a bunch. And then now she's like, now he's gonna kick me out? And I'm like, the tables have turned.
Yeah.
Sweet girl. I don't know. Let's see. And then Willow's looking for information. And she's really... This is when she's at the cafe. She's being, like, really impatient and is trying really, really hard not to use magic. But she really doesn't, which is great.
I know. I'm so proud of her. I really yeah. am. That sounds sarcastic, but
no,
I am.
It's, you know.
Like, I'm all for a redemption.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with the metaphor, too. It's like, it's hard. It ain't mm-hmm. easy being green.
Or cheesy.
So what? Then Buffy's mad because Spike kicked her out and she's walking home. No one's there. And then Dawn sneaks in with... Was she, like, holding something?
I didn't notice. Okay,
never mind. But I thought there was some kind of, like, secret package that was going to be there later. I guess I didn't understand why she was sneaking.
She doesn't do too well at home when she scares Dawn, who has the same frustrations as Spike, combined with extreme worry for her sister.
Okay, sure. So, she's just sneaking because maybe she just doesn't want to see Buffy. But she sneaks in, and then Buffy's like, hey-ha, I'm invisible. And Dawn is, you know, like Beth said, it's just the same thing. Then there's a voicemail. Buffy listens to it, and Xander, he says, hey, if you don't come and find me, you're going to turn into pudding.
You're going to be jelly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then Willow tracks down the... Okay, so there was a piece, there was a fire hydrant that had gotten turned invisible at the same spot that Buffy did. He got, the uh-huh. poor hydrant got caught in the crossfire. The hydrant was hit by the getaway car because it was invisible and people didn't see it. And
they were remembering the van right. from an earlier episode.
And the one with the Star Wars horn. Yeah.
Yes, with the... Whatever it is, it's either the Death Star or the Millennium Falcon. I think
it's the Death Star. But, yeah, it's whenever, it's like a bunch of bad luck, right? Keeps happening to her. Yeah, right. So,
Yeah, that one where she, like, skips time.
Oh, it's
when the three of them are trying to,
Right, and they're taking turns, having contests.
Yeah.
You know, they like to have fun. I'll give them that. So, so Willow uncovers a piece of black paint from the fire hydrant at the scene of the crime, which is from the van. So then she looks it up. She figures out who owns the van. She goes to their house. She goes down into the lair, sees the schematics, for the invisible ray gun, and she's like, wow, this is definitely the person that shot Buffy, right. You know, we found the culprit.
Hopefully not to get too ahead of myself, but this episode had its downsides, but I also really, really liked seeing Willow doing, like, sleuthing work again.
That is a silver lining. That's a good point.
It felt good to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like coming home.
You know what? In The Prestige, they say that about drowning, because people, a bunch of different people drown in that movie, and he says, uh-huh. we hear that drowning is like coming home.
Why? Because you were born in an amniotic fluid?
No, I think it just, I think it's just how, you know, like, whenever you're freezing to death, and supposedly you get really warm right before you die, so it's, like, uh-huh. the one of the least painful ways to die, supposedly. Although, who would uh-huh. really know?
Yeah, who can... I mean, probably people who almost died and then didn't.
Well, that's what happens in The Prestige, man. They say that there's a magician who, like, almost drowned, and then they... But they, like, got him out of the tank in time, and then it took him 5 minutes to cough. And uh-huh. they said... He said that, like, in those 5 minutes, he was dead, and it felt like going home. Huh. Ugh. I'm all fucked up. I've been on kind of a whirlwind today, honestly. I've had a lot of... Yeah, I've been on a lot of ups and downs. You know, when you're like, why are we all here? And then you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, I've been having an existential day. That's what I'll say.
I feel
it's
that.
It's just, those come across... If you don't have those, you need to think a little bit more. It's good for you. It helps your spirit grow. Sometimes, though, if you're not careful, you do need to have some type of rebound or some type of person that you can call... I can get you out of it, because if you get stuck in it, you will be there for months. You'll be stuck there. So you need, you know, like a break in case of emergency type plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my advice. That's your homework today, listeners. Is to,
think.
I'm reading my notes. I'm stalling. I'm trying to figure out. I can't really remember what's next.
Okay, so...
Oh, she's in the nerd's lair. That's where we were.
Yeah, they get captured. And then they catch her, because they're surprise.
And then, let's see. Buffy, she's going out to find Xander. And then her phone rings. So then she goes and she picks up the phone. And she's still invisible. And he says, it's Jonathan. He's on the line. And he's like, mm-hmm. you meet me at the arcade. And she's like, do I know you? And so she goes there, right? And they meet at the arcade. Mm-hmm. They try to kill her. They have an invisible fight. Everybody is running out of the arcade because they're scared, because they can see a fight happening, but they can't see the fight that's happening. Get it? So, mm-hmm.
Right.
Then Willow, oh, they try to kill her with the invisible gun. They're like, okay, just stand still and we'll turn you visible again. Which is not a great plan, I feel like. I feel like they were really relying on her trust, you know, which is not always something mm-hmm. you can count on as a supervillain. But, yeah, and then Willow's like, hey, I saw the plan. I think he's got it on the wrong setting. I think he's trying to kill you. And that's how they break it.
Accelerate
the molecular decomposition, Beth. Jesus, were you paying attention mm-hmm. at all? I guess not. So, listen, I'm the backbone of this household. I'm joking. So then Willow picks up, Willow's the only one who's not invisible, and she picks up the gun, and because she's Willow, and she looked at the schemes for a split second, she puts it on the right setting, it works immediately, she shoots everybody, she, yeah, Jonathan is in the process of, like, kind of bargaining with Buffy, I think, or something, being like, please don't kill me, or whatever. And Buffy goes, like, I know that voice. Is that? And then Willow shoots them with the gun. And it turns, they turn visible again, and Buffy's holding Jonathan by his collar.
She throws him on the ground, and she's like, Jonathan?
And Willow's like, Buffy, your hair is adorable.
Yeah,
that is very cute. And then, she turns them all visible, and then, they throw a smoke bomb, and they try to get out. They sneak out the exit. They don't get caught. Which, yes. You know, unfortunate.
But now we know.
Now everybody's on the same page,
now
right?
Now Buffy knows, and knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, man, it really is for them. They're constant. Man, those motherfuckers have always got their nose in a book. But, then Buffy and Willow are kind of talking about their days, and Buffy's like, I still need to do some damage control. Dawn wasn't happy when I was invisible, and for the same kind of reason. Because it's a weird thing to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to be invisible for the rest of my life. It's like, maybe just right. be like, I'm just going to enjoy this while it lasts. But she was dead set on it. She was like, I found my calling. It's to be invisible. And so she's talking about she still needs to do some damage control. And she gets kind of honest and she's like, yeah, but I mean, the thing is that when Xander told me that I might die from it, I was like actually scared. And I was like, oh, yeah. And right. she was like, so I'm guessing that this means that I don't actually want to die. And I've heard a lot of stories about people who are like, I was suicidal. Obviously, this does not partake to everybody. But, like, there are people who are like, I've been suicidal, and I've always been like, if only I had the guts to kill myself. And then they actually have, like, a life-threatening situation. And then they're like, I do not want to die at all.
Yeah.
You know?
This has been a lie that my brain has been telling me. I am actually,
that fight or flight instinct is strong. Okay, wait, Buffy basically says...
Buffy's like, I don't want to die anymore. She's
right.
like, I don't know how great I am, but I don't actively want to die.
Yeah.
Which is a step.
Well, that's what the joke kind of is when they... Don't you love when you... I mean, Beth and I have kind of been this for each other. So Beth and I have both recently gotten done with school for reals. Beth got done with her master's, and then I finished my undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm not going back for my master's. And so, we've both kind of been like, oh no, what are we supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And it's nice whenever we can text each other and be like, got another job rejection today, and like,
mm-hmm.
joke about it. So that's kind of what Buffy and Willow are doing with each other. Or Willow's like, I really didn't use magic today.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I almost did a couple of times, but I didn't. So that's our step. And,
right.
And that's all it's about, man.
I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
I really am. I feel like this is so weird. I just feel very, like, you know, she messed up, and now she's taking steps to rectify it. And I'm proud of her.
Yeah, man. I love a good, apology, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When they really mean it.
Truly.
Nothing like it. So that's that episode, and we stuck fairly close to topic this time because, I don't know, I didn't like it that much. Like, I'm gonna give it, like, a 6.
A 6? Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it, like, a 7.5, because, the parts that, like, I liked, I actually really liked. Like, I really liked... Like, you know, like I've been saying, I really liked this stuff with Willow because I'm just like, it just makes me feel good. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's finally coming around. I like the fact that Buffy is dealing with, like, in somewhat of her own way, she's dealing with, her suicidal tendencies, I guess. Her depression.
Sure.
Her depression is, like, she's learning to cope with it after trying to cope with it in a monumentally stupid way.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis invisibility.
The reason that I'm gonna give this a 6 is because I think that the conclusions that they came to were good as far as Buffy realizing that she doesn't actually want to die, and Spike kind of sticking up for himself.
That was nice too. Because really
she
that.
Was the difference is that the difference is that she was on his turf this time. Mm-hmm. Usually he's puppy dogging her, where he's like following her through the graveyard. She's like, get away from me, I'm working, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she has that excuse, but like by him having her kind of like catching her red-handed, right? You know, she wants to, when they're not together, like being together actively, they're like,
mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't like Spike. And I never liked you. And all that stuff. And then but then whenever she's actually in the moment and she's being very sweet and cuddly and
yes.
physical, and he is like, I'm done with this, you know?
Yeah.
He had the upper hand this time around. So.
For sure.
But,
And so Buffy and Willow were both kind of like,
right.
Our addictions don't have us.
Right. And you know, I just think that those conclusions could have been come to in a more creative way. Like, maybe Buffy experiencing, I don't know. And also, I say this, and while I'm saying it, I'm just like, you've never written a 6-season show. So maybe you need to cool it a little bit. But I hold everybody to a really high standard. And
that's
all right. I don't know. I've made my peace. I think it could have been done in a more creative way. And if you want my logistical approach, I would have done it like maybe Buffy has to, like, almost has to take a bullet for somebody. And it, not like a literal bullet necessarily, but like she almost has to sacrifice herself again for somebody and realizes that, like, she's been, like, kind of leaning on this Slayer thing to be like, well, it's just another day being the Slayer, could get killed at any moment, can't wait until it finally happens, and then, which is kind of the vibe that she's been giving off, and then make it to where, like, it actually does almost happen, and then she's like, actually, I just wanted to, like, her job again, and I think that that would help with that, if it was more job-related.
It's like the, from my brother and me, when Justin's like, the show, he's like, hey, I have a great idea. Actually, fuck this. That's Buffy.
That's totally Buffy. I haven't seen that show. I've heard it's good, though.
It's really funny.
I should watch it.
That's the episode that Patrick and I like to show to the uninitiated.
Okay.
It gets people.
I'll commit myself to it, so it doesn't matter which episode I start with.
Cool.
Yeah. That's everybody.
That's my recommendation to you, listeners.
All right.
The recommendation that we do every week. Every single week. No. But yeah, so that's the episode. It was fine.
Yeah.
This is
what happens. And now we're like at the end of this episode and we're like kind of drawing it out because we want there to be more, but there's just not.
There's just not.
But I'm excited. We'll see what happens.
But you know what there is? An account on Twitter.com made just for you.
It's called Buffy. What a fucking segue, man. I love you. You're the best. You said, I've got it. I've nailed it. Just you wait.
Hire me as your social media manager.
I know. It's called, the Twitter is called Buffy_speak, and that's where you can find out
all your hot Buffy speak tips.
All our podcast stuff. It's going to be so exciting. We can't wait to see you there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I have recently changed my handle in an attempt to be more professional. So my Twitter is now Beth Eleanor with an extra R at the end. So that's Beth, ELEA.
What was it before?
It was at Beth Lindley.
So Beth Lindley isn't professional? Mine's Caroline Sears.
No. I'm sorry. I should have said, I completely changed Beth Lindley over to a professional account.
Oh.
Because at Beth Lindley before was not very professional.
No, it was a chaos of One Direction and Harry Potter fan fiction.
Listen, I haven't tweeted about One Direction in a while.
I tweeted about One Direction today, I think.
You send me Harry Styles tweets on a regular basis.
Every single day. I would say I'd say it's more rare for you to not get a tweet about Harry Styles from me than it is to get one.
It's true.
Anyway, follow me for more Harry Styles updates.
You really should. She's really good at keeping me in the loop.
Yeah.
Because I don't keep up with it. I just rely on her to keep me informed.
Got tabs. But
all right, everyone.
We've let it go on long enough.
Uh-huh.
There it is. There it is. We can feel it in our guts. Bye, everybody.
Uh-huh. Bye.